Welcome, beloved listeners, to our podcast, a place where we share life experiences through the lens of faith and find common ground in being loved by God. I'm Lorraine Hess here with Erica Strong, and we are beloved daughters of God. Our goal is for you to know that you are beloved by God too.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Lorraine.
Hey, Erica. How are you today?
Good. How are you? I'm excited about our conversation today.
I'm always excited about our conversation, and this is going to be a tough one on self-control. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. But do you mind starting us off in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this podcast, for all of our listeners, and just for the beautiful fruits of the Holy Spirit that are just available to us if we just ask. And so we ask you to bless this conversation, bless all of those who listen, and may all of our conversation today just bless someone in some way. And we thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you've yet to do. And we thank you for just being here, sending your Holy Spirit to be with us today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, Lorraine, you said it's tough. What makes it tough?
Well, you know, the first thing that I thought of when we knew today's topic was self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, was social media and the lack of self-control that people have on social media to just vomit out whatever they want to say, whatever opinion they have, whether it's true or not, whether it's hurtful or not. And, you know, I have to use social media for my music and for my events that I do. And you do, too. You do a lot of great social media. Mm-hmm. And part of me wants to just be away from that. Mm-hmm. But I have to be in it. And so I've just kind of made a rule that, like, nothing negative whatsoever goes on my social media. Nothing. Oh, even if the entire world agrees there's something negative happening, I just have to, like, cut it off so that mm-hmm. I don't get caught into this spiral of just sadness and bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what? That's true, because you really, really have to practice, like, some self-regulation, self-awareness to really mm-hmm. harness that self-control. Because with that being one of the fruits of the Spirit, it's like to be able to control yourself. I think about, you know, in the Bible where it says, don't be tossed to and fro, you know, I can't remember the exact scripture, but it's just mm-hmm. like, you know, we're not to be tossed to and fro. We're supposed to have this steady, you know, sure hand that everything is going to be okay. When we think about Jesus having that, you know, being in the boat in the storm, and, you know, his disciple is like, why, how are you out there in the water in the storm? And he was able to get out of the boat mm-hmm. because he trusted God and he had that faith and he was able to walk on water. Well, to me, that shows self-control, self-awareness, like, I know who I am. And so when it relates back to social media, mm-hmm. that always goes deep and wide. Like, there is a whole world out there that we can comment on. There are not so nice people that may say things about, you know, our things that we post. And it's just what made me just chuckle is that I remember posting on social media, you know, I always have a story for something. And so what made me chuckle is I remember I had just gone to the chiropractor to get my back work done. And I had on some lashes because I had just done a filming before I had my chiropractic appointment. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know how they lay your face down inside of the thing, yeah. Right? And so I laid my face down inside of the thing. And I mean, I wasn't thinking because I wasn't going to really be filming anything after that. And so I laid my face down in the thing. And then when I was done, my lash was just so deformed. Still didn't think of it anything. And I had this God-inspired moment that I wanted to, you know, just go live on TikTok at the time. And I was like, I'm going to go live on TikTok and I'm going to talk about what I just thought about. And I mean, I felt like I was given some really good, you know, nuggets for growth. And all I saw in the feed was like, you need to fix your eyelash.
Oh, no.
Well, what's up with your eyelashes? But then, you know, the self-control was, you know what? I'm not going to change my course. I'm going to stay the course and I'm going to share this message. And then I even made a joke of it, you know, like, yeah that's funny. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I had a chiropractor. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, instead of, you know, getting offended or, you know, losing self-control and like, I'm giving you a good message. why are you worried about my lash? Instead of going there, I was just like, yeah, I had a chiropractor today. Sorry, guys, for my lashes. I'll pull them off, but I think I'll look scary. So let me just finish telling you what I was telling you. And then the comments about the lashes went away.
Exactly. Just confront it, right? You know, you said something a minute ago. You were talking about Jesus and his self-control. And I had this thought of, you know, Jesus.
It's the babies. You know, it's the babies. If a listener goes, now, how can she record and have her babies barking in the back?
That my dogs are barking. They're going to be a special guest one day on this podcast. I'm going to introduce you to Walter and Dixie and say, here is the problem. So when we record, it's the same time of day that they're rescuing me from the Amazon driver and the mail carrier. So
of course.
I'm safe. I just can't convince them every day. Okay. But what I was saying was I was back to, you know, at the point where Jesus stayed in the desert for 40 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had every power to take for himself whatever he needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was major self-control. And what the Lord teaches us in that lesson is that we have to practice self-control.
Yeah.
So if you want to lose weight, what do you have to diet and exercise. You have to self-deny. And so in scripture, we talk a lot about fasting, and there are a lot of faith traditions that are really latch on to fasting. And it's not to punish ourselves. It's not to say, okay, well, I'm going to only eat one meal every Friday. No, it's to train us to say, okay, I'm going to put my thoughts into something else, or I'm going to, train myself to be able to control this so that I can control temptations. And so if you remember the scripture where the apostles were trying to cast out a demon of this little boy and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus cast out the demons and they're like, why couldn't we do it? And he said, some things require prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And I think fasting, I said, that was the point I really wanted to make today about the power of fasting. And it doesn't have to be, don't eat but one meal today, or you can fast from social media, which would be a great idea for all of us to take a break. You can fast from listening to music in your car and have silence. Use that as prayer time. You can fast from gossip. You can fast from lots of whatever it is that your vice is and that trains us in self-control. And we said, like, it's a fruit of it is the gift from the Spirit, this self-control.
Absolutely. Because like what you just said literally just goes back to setting an intention, right? Setting that intention to, like, let's just say lose weight, the track that I'm on right now, working out like crazy.
Aren't we all?
Oh my God. And so I set the intention that I want to be healthy first. And the byproduct of being healthy is working out, losing weight, you know, watching what I eat. And so that self-control comes with the intention and the determination. So yeah, it's just the discipline of like watching what I eat, being consistent, right? And so that goes across the board in every area of our life. Like I tell my people that I coach, my coaching clients, I'm like, you can win at anything in your life if you are, you know, armed with consistency, intention, and self-control. And there's a reason that God gave us that as one of our fruits of the Spirit, because self-control is not just not saying anything mean to somebody that says something mean to you. It's also in our daily practice in our lives, right? So if you're ever in a space, and this is to our listeners, because this is how I confront myself. If I'm ever in a space that I question, why am I not further along here? Why do I feel stagnant in this area of my life? Then I trace it back to my habits. Like, what am I doing every day? You know, how am I thinking about it? How am I processing it? What intentions have I set forward? And then what self-control have I put in place? What disciplines have I put in place to see that? One of them was at 50, and I know you guys are going to get squeamish when I say this, but at 50, I learned how to swim.
Really?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. I was determined to learn how to swim. And so that was my bucket list. By the time I'm 50, I'm going to learn how to swim. And so in that, I had to go through the fear of, you know, putting my head under the water and not being able to breathe, you know, showing up every day.
Wow.
But I changed the way that I spoke about myself in terms of swimming, right? So it wasn't that I wish I could swim. I started saying every day I would come to the pool and my trainer was there and I was staying like, I am a swimmer. I am a swimmer.
I'm so proud of you for doing
Thank you.
To be so hard, like
it
learning another language later in life or learning, like I've always wanted to play the cello. Maybe when I turn 60, that'll be what my treat myself to a cello.
But think about it. It's just the discipline that you know, create and then the self-control that brings on a new habit. Literally, if we just take that one fruit of the spirit and inject it in every area in our life that we feel like that we're not doing well in, it's going to surprise you that, oh my God, all I had to do is follow God's word. Oh, wow. You know?
And I sometimes feel that the self-control is like we have to respond to the spirit's prompting, whether to speak or not to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like you and I, we have our children are older now and they're adults and they're on their own and they're making their own choices. And there are times when it's good to speak up. I mean, think about it. Jesus was 30 when Mary said they have no wine.
Yeah.
So she was telling him some things, but then she was also stepping back and just letting him be Jesus.
Yeah.
And not for our kids. We kind of let our kids do their thing and let them respond to the spirit in their own ways too and make the mistakes. And so I find in this phase of life that with my children especially, I have a different type of self-control. So when they were younger, I had self-control that I had to make sure I made the lunches at night so that I had time in the morning to get them in the car and make sure I woke up at 5:15 so that I could do my prayer time before they woke up. Like that was a self-discipline and the self-control that I had to have then. But now as a mother, I have to have self-control in more than in holding my tongue.
It's hard. I just had this conversation with my sister yesterday because I told her, I was like, she's asking me, like, how are the girls doing? I'm like, oh, the girls are great. And we're in this kind of weird space. Like you said, they're grown. So it's just so much that you can say and you can watch them doing something that you think is just, you just want to pull your hair out and go, listen to me. And they don't want to listen. And I said, you know what? I realize I'm the GPS and they've turned off their navigational system.
Oh,
and I have to learn how to function in a quiet space that my navigation has been, if not turned off, silence to a
deactivated.
Point. Yes,
you've been deactivated, Mom.
I've been deactivated.
Well, I will not deactivate you from my life because you have such great advice for me as a friend. And I was also thinking too about we were talking about Jesus a minute and the self-control to be God and man and to have the power to do the things. But because self-control is to go against what our human body wants.
Yeah.
To go against, like if we have to have self-control, it's because we're trying not to do what we really want to do, but shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's speak or act or, and so I was thinking of, you know, Jesus before Pilate.
Yeah. Oh,
thinking,
yeah.
I can call 10,000 angels to come rescue me at any moment, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Like that, like I think Jesus had, so we think of, you know, Jesus as the epitome of love and mercy and compassion, but he is the epitome of self-control.
Absolutely.
To be in that humanness and not use those powers that he had so that he could get his, you know, his message across and to teach us as, and be believable as a man.
Yeah.
It really made me, caused me to think about, his example as one of self-control.
And I was just thinking that just he was just such an amazing example. So if it's anything that we need to learn is we need to learn how to like do as Jesus did. And I say this all the time, like he really was the perfect example. So how do we love? How do we exercise every fruit of the spirit that we've already talked about? Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture that I pulled out, Proverbs 25 and 28. Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And so when I read that, I was thinking, like, how chaotic of a life when there is no self-control, like a city without walls. That means everything gets in, everything goes out. There is nothing consistent, nothing stable. And we can even have that in the way that we think, right? Just in the way that we think. Like we were just talking about that earlier in our pre-call, just how do we, when we start feeling anxious about all of the tasks that we have to do and everything that is on our shoulders for things that we created, that we wanted to do, like, I want to do my retreat and I want to do this and I want to do that. Then we start getting overwhelmed about all those tasks. That is, to me, is like giving space to lose control over my thoughts. So let me bring my thoughts back into subjection. Let me settle my mind and let me find that intention to just decide what's first, what's next, what's the most important, so that I'm not like a city without walls, even in my mind.
Right. And you know, that's a segue to the music that I wanted to suggest. One was, because I was really thinking of, I don't write songs that have the word self-control in it. Or, you know, I don't think of a lot of Christian songs that have the word self-control in it. But then I thought, you know, I wrote a song on Psalm 51, Create a Clean Heart in Me. And it's about like get rid of all these things that keep me from being connected to you, you know, purify me. And so I'm going to add that to our song list on the website. And if you've had a chance to go take a look, we've got a full song list of songs that go with the fruits of the Spirit. But that was one, Create a Clean Heart in Me. And I wrote it one time. I was at this conference, and I love when I go to these conferences to go to confession, because there are these priests that are there and they love doing confession and just get to meet somebody new and just a different perspective. And I went, I had all these rehearsals. And so I kept like, oh, I couldn't go Tuesday. I was like, oh, well, I'll go tomorrow. Then I had another rehearsal or an event. And then I was like, oh, I'll go Thursday. And I go on Thursday and it was ended. It was closed. Like, I couldn't go. And I really wanted to meet with a priest and really. And I was so sad. And I went back to my hotel room and I wrote this song on Create a Clean Heart in Me. Oh, God.
Oh, nice.
So it was like from that space where I want to be in a place where I have self-control again, because I'm strong and my faith is, you know, I'm purified. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. But the other one, and a lot of people know the song, Your Grace is Enough. Mm-hmm. And so when we get by Matt Maher, and it's one of the top Christian, contemporary Christian praise and worship songs. And it's so hard to say Your Grace is Enough. We sing it and everybody kind of knows that song. But do we really believe it?
Right.
Do we say to God, oh, Your grace is enough. That's all I need.
Yeah.
It's the truth, but it's hard to really live that. Mm-hmm. And if we can say, Your grace is enough. Okay, I have to give up control of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me Your grace, just Your love and Your grace. That is all I need. You can just shower me with Your love and Your grace. This is all I need. Mm-hmm. Because that, I just think that's hard. But if we do just rely on the Spirit, say, I just need the grace of God to be able to have self-control.
Yeah, I love that. Your grace is enough. Like, just the words just kind of give me a sense of peace, like Your grace is enough. And it is hard to live by it when there's chaos happening all around you. Like, how do you have chaos all around you and say Your grace is enough? That is self-control. That is the epitome of like, God, I trust You. I have no idea what's happened. I have no idea what's going on, but Your grace is enough. So I'm going to take control of myself, of my thoughts, of my actions, of the way that I see, like my perspective of the way things are happening could be totally different when I change it and change the way that I'm thinking about it and change the way that I see it, right? And so it's easy to pull on Your grace is enough when you can change your perspective right in the moment. And in the moment, I'm always the person that's going to say, okay, what can I do in this moment to change whatever it is going on? Right. Because like, you know, even when you are married and you're starting to have like maybe like some, how do they call those? Intense fellowship. With your husband.
Okay.
When you're having an intense fellowship with your spouse and like right in the moment that you want to say, well, you did this and you did that. Now I'm learning to look at myself like, okay, how can I speak differently? How can I show up in this conversation? And even though it can be heated, how can I now change the energy to love? How can I, you know, so like really bringing the message back to in this moment, I can only control me. I can only control me. And so knowing that every chance that I get, I'm always circling it back to, okay, how can I take responsibility for my part in this conversation and then change it? That's the gift of self-control.
Well, I think there's a balance too between self-control and being controlling. You know what I mean?
Because controlling, you're trying to control someone else.
Right. And so back to the idea of your grace is enough. Mm-hmm. Do we not go to that phrase mm-hmm. until we've exhausted all of our ways of controlling it and say, oh, okay, I've tried everything. So yeah. I'm at the mercy of God. So, okay, God, your grace is enough. And if we had done that from the beginning of the issue and said, okay, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but I'm just letting it go. I'm giving it to you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where we give up the control and we use the self-control to allow God. We have this in my parish. I'm on the staff at my parish, and my pastor has this beautiful concept that we are switching from being in a boat that rows, where everyone's got an oar and they're rowing, to being in a sailboat, where you put up the sail and you let the Spirit take this parish where it needs to go, where how we are to serve. Instead of rowing in the directions that we think we need to be, mm-hmm. that we put the sail up and see where the Spirit leads us. Mm-hmm. And can we do that in our own lives? It's a great analogy if you think about it. Mm-hmm. We are constantly rowing our boats, mm-hmm. making our list, doing the things that we think we need to do. And, and yet, are we consulting with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. before we make that list to say, okay, I'm giving up control. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a lot of self-control to, from the beginning, let go of control.
Yeah. I love the analogy to let up the oars and let the sail guide you with the Holy Spirit. Because mm-hmm. I was dealing with a business situation before we got on our call today. And, you know, I can go in and start manipulating and fixing it and making sure everything works. And so as I was getting ready, I was like, God, it's yours. Mm-hmm. Whatever works, whatever happens, it's yours. And I bless it. If it's something that's supposed to be for my business and, you know, take it ahead, thank you. But if it's not, I bless them to find, you know, the business deal for them that's going to bless them. And I mm-hmm. felt in that moment, the oars coming in and letting mm-hmm. the sail just take me. And I mean, it brought me so much peace. So I love that story, that's that beautiful. Analogy. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I thought about this, you know, the scripture where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and Martha, and I think I may have mentioned this before in another episode, but I love this story, how Martha just totally trusts Jesus. She's like, you are the Messiah. You are the one who is to come. Mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. And he says, roll away the stone. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, there's going to be a stench. He's like, do you trust me or not?
Right.
Like, do we decide in our prayer, because we're trying to control things, that we tell God how we want our prayer to be answered instead of saying, just lead me.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, you know, a lot in music has changed since COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of things virtually, which is just not my cup of tea, because I like to interact with people when I give a concert or retreat. And a lot of it has come back, no doubt. But to be able to say, okay, God, what do you want from me right now? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not what I'm supposed to be doing forever, but can I just be very disciplined in listening to mm-hmm. you, so that I'm sure that I'm discerning well where I'm needed in this kingdom of yours.
Absolutely. That just made me think of another scripture. I'm going to read it. It's Ephesians 6 and 10. Mm-hmm. Self-control is present in the one who is strong in the strength of the Lord, having put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's self-control is already present when you have the armor of God on you.
Right.
And so when you're going through the change in the music industry and just in the every industry mm-hmm. was impacted mm-hmm. by COVID, you know? Right. And so when you're going through this cycle of change and the cycle of the unknown, self-control is going to always be present and strong when your trust is in God, when that arm of God is always around.
Right, right. You know, I love that scripture you mentioned, and I've used that mm-hmm. in a presentation before, in a retreat, and if you continue that, scripture, we mm-hmm. talked about the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the helmet of salvation. Like, you have to have the entire armor. You can't just have the shield, or you can't just have the helmet, or you just can't have the breastplate. Like, you have to be head to toe, you know, dressed in protected in order to have that. And so if you just think of that image of a knight dressed, like, you never see them with, you know, completely dressed in armor with no helmet on. It's all of it. And so I would encourage our listeners to go, like, meditate on that whole scripture, because it's just very powerful.
Yeah. I just want to leave you guys just with that, you know, having trust and faith that as you put the whole armor of God on you, there is absolutely nothing that, number one, you can't overcome. There's nothing that you cannot do. Like, if there is something in your life right now that you're struggling with, like, man, how can I find, you know, favor in this area? How can I find success? How can I find fulfillment? It's really just questioning, where is my self-control in this area in my life? If you want to get closer with God, where is your self-control even in your quiet times with God, right? So prioritizing things and really making them, and we laughed about this earlier, but we have like this big mountain of things that we want to do. And it really, all we have to do is crush it down to like little pebbles. And we feel those pebbles as we turn it into the very thing that we want, meaning small steps, small chunks, small wins. Give yourself some small wins. Oh, I got up this morning at 5 o'clock and I prayed for 10 minutes. Oh, I got up, you know, at 6 o'clock and I read a verse that really spoke to me. Like, everything that you want in your life, from your walk with God to losing weight to, you know, working on a project, it starts with self-control.
Right. And we remember this is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So if we are, you know, in touch with the Holy Spirit and we allow the Spirit to move us and to listen to the Holy Spirit, we're going to receive this gift. We're going to receive this fruit. It's going to be our self-control of others.
Absolutely.
So I'm working on it every day.
Same girl.
I think the day I die, they're like, well, she tried hard, but it's really it's definitely a fruit of the Spirit that I just, you know, would like to work a little harder on for sure.
We're all a work in progress. So have
Amen
grace,
to that.
Right? We have grace on ourselves.
Right.
Well, Lorraine, this was amazing. Thank you so much for another fulfilling conversation.
It's good stuff. It's great talking with you about
this. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast, Beloved, and talking about self-control. You can connect with us on our website, belovedpodcast.com, where you'll find Lorraine's song suggestions and the Bible verses that I mentioned in today's podcast. But please say hello and subscribe to our social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. Join us next time as we continue Fruits of the Spirit. Until then, remember, you are beloved.